Time. Do you remember talking about a story in Ksubis about, I think it was Reb Zer, if I'm not mistaken, he was crossing Eretz Yisrael on a log with a rope over the top of him, and a guy saw him and said, you guys are hasty people. I'm a paziza. You said Nasav and Ishma, now you're why don't you just wait until you could get it? There was no ferry. Usually there's a ferry. And if any of you learn the Gemara we're learning the Gemara in Ksubis, Posko Mavra, right? The ferry broke. So he wasn't waiting. So what he did is he took the dangerous route across, which was, there was a log there, and he climbed with the rope on top and went across. The guy said, what are you doing? And he said back, he said, Moshe and Aaron didn't merit to get in. I'm not, if I got an opportunity, I'm going to jump on that opportunity. Now, I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't think it's a coincidence that this guy is saying, you're the Nasav and Ishma people. The guy don't get this whole Nasav and Ishma thing. Why don't you ask what's going on over here? Why don't you try to figure it out? Nasav and Ishma is whatever you say, Hashem, I'm doing it. Right? And the guy are like, well, first tell me what it is. I'll see if I can. And when the guy tried explaining it, Hashem tried explaining it to the guy. Well, there's Losignov. Whoa, I can't do that. That's too heavy. And there's Losirtzach. That's just too much. And all the guys weren't able to do it. Klai Yisrael just said, Nasav and Ishma. I get this sneaking suspicion if Hashem would have told the Jews what was going on in the Targ Mitzvahs, they would have said, we can't do that. But they didn't. They just jumped right in. So I think it's not a sweet. I don't think it's a coincidence that when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, that also there's a similar type of behavior Klai Yisrael has, which is we just jump into Eretz Yisrael because it's not logical. There's a lot of things about this land that is not logical from our ability to capture this land and maintain this land. It is not logical. Do you have any idea how many people that are surrounding Israel want to kill us? Do you know the numbers? A few hundred million people. There's only 7 million Jews in this whole country. And there's 350 million people that want to kill us. They just have to spit on us and we'll drown. You know what I mean? That's it. It's just, let's all spit. And that's the end. There was a time when they were talking we're all going to just run into Israel at the same time. I'm not talking about even with guns or anything. Just run and we'll just mob them. It's crazy. It makes no sense that we're here in this country. That we got into this country makes no sense. How do we win these wars? Do you know the war in 48? Do you know we were outnumbered 50 to 1? 50 to 1? We're talking about fighter planes. We had 3. They had hundreds. It's you can't win this war. It was a joke. Everyone was it's over, done, we're finished, goodbye, no more Jews. This is right after the Holocaust. There's barely any Jews in this world, right? After the Holocaust, 1948, there's not much left. The Jews are not, they're a bunch of refugees. They're weak, they're tired. You got all these Arabs from all sides attacking Israel. And it's okay, there's nothing to talk about. The war's over in a day. The Jews are decimated and they're done. How'd they win that war? It makes no sense. This country makes no sense. There's something about it which is just Nasav and Ishma. We're just in. Something else which makes no sense. One time I was in Shari Tzedek. No, I was in Ein Kerem. And I was looking on the wall at the donors. And I'm looking at, Mr. Howard and Sylvia Stein from somewhere in Texas. What's that place called? A fort or a fort something or other, Fort Worth or something like that. And you got this other guy Charles and Angela from somewhere in Minnesota. And these people are clearly not religious. Clearly, not affiliated. And they're giving tons of money to Israel. I'm thinking, why is everyone giving money to Israel? What do they care? Why do they care? What does everyone care about Israel? Why does everyone want to be in Israel? What is it that draws people here? That it's so important to them? And I think the answer is that it is inexplicable. You cannot explain this to someone. Most people that they live in, Spanish people that move to America, who live in America for one generation, two generations, that's it, they're Americans, you know what I mean? They're finished. Spain is irrelevant to them. Why is that? That people, they're totally disaffiliated, and Israel is that important to them. And it's not something we can describe because it just is. That's the Nasev and Nishma about Eretz Yisrael. You can't describe why. Kal Yisrael made a tragic mistake, which was, Hashem says, okay, we're going in. You ready? We're going in. And what do they say? Not yet. Let's send in spies. What are the spies for? Anyone? Let's check this place out. Let's see if we could conquer it. Let's see if it's good. Let's see. And Hashem is, and that was a tragic mistake, because if the whole thing is supposed to be Nasev and Nishma, the Goyim did that with the Torah. We did that with Eretz Yisrael. And that was a big, big boo-boo. And we're still suffering today from this boo-boo. And there's supposed to be just like, there's something about just, let's just go for it, that Eretz Yisrael has in it, similar to the Torah. Anyway, I'd like to get back to some of the these underlines we have. We give out, this is from Encyclopedia Talmudis, and we are going to do some fascinating different works over. We spoke about Eretz Yisrael and all different things about it. Right. This, yes.
We didn't have like that drive then to be in the land.
I guess that there was something lacking. There was something that Klal Yisrael was that they came up short on. I guess so. Not the same way.
How do we still suffer today from it?
Because that was Tisha B'Av. That happened on Tisha B'Av, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know, you're crying for no reason. I got good stuff coming for you. You don't understand it, but you don't have to understand it. Same way you don't have to understand the Torah, and you're going to cry for that. You cry for no reason. I'll give you something to cry about, and we're still crying because of that Tisha B'Av until this very day. So we're still suffering from that. Okay. Look over here in the second column. We did the whole first column pretty much. The stuff on the bottom which you want to see. But it says as follows. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see that underline on the top of the second column? Yavo Yisrael. Shabo'u Lechelki. V'yanchilu es ha'aretz Shabo'u Lechelki. Which is as follows. Every country in the world has an angel who's in charge of that country. Every nation in the world has an angel who's in charge of that nation. So therefore, we kind of pair that up, and we put the country and the nation, and we... Now, Klal Yisrael does not have an angel that's in charge of them. Who's in charge of Klal Yisrael? Yisrael, what's the lesson we use? Ki chelek Hashem amoy, Yisrael chevel nachalosoy. Ki chelek Hashem amoy. What's Hashem's chelek in this world? Amoy, his people, it's us. So who's in charge of us? Hashem. So therefore, Hashem says, this is my land also. This is a land which is called Einei Hashem. Eretz, next pasuk, which is underlined. Eretz asher Einei Hashem Elokecha, Dorish Aisa, Tamid Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba. This is Hashem's land. So if you were Hashem's people, so then where do we belong? Hashem's land. Einei Hashchina Shoira Ela Be'eretz Yisrael. The Shekhinah only dwells in Eretz Yisrael. This is the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people. Therefore, everything belongs together. Now look at this next thing, which is, I think, just some interesting facts here about Eretz Yisrael. Afilu la'achar misa chashuva hakvura be'eretz Yisrael. So do you know anyone that died in America and was buried here?
Yeah.
Lots of people like that. Or Moshe Feinstein died in America and was buried here. Right? What? About Yisrael.
A lot of people
died in England and came here, right? Because even being buried in Eretz Yisrael is a big thing. So just anything.
Isn't that for
Tchias HaMesim?
Didn't that
to
Tchias
HaMesim? Shekol HaKover Eretz Yisrael Ki'ilu Kover Tachas. He's saying, no, it's not only for Tchias HaMesim. Just the being buried here is itself a special thing. Also, you don't have to go through Chibot HaKever. You don't have to, like, you know, you don't have to get rolled around and get to Eretz Yisrael. You're here already. But just being buried here is a special thing. If you look on the bottom of the right column, there's something fascinating over there. On the bottom, that's like the small print. The Ibn Ezra, Rev Ibn Ezra, Bereishis, Lamed Gimel, Shalachain, Kona Yaakov is Chalkos HaSodeh. Yaakov bought Chalkos HaSodeh, Ki Ma'ale G'doylo Yesh L'Eretz Yisrael, U'mishi Yesh Lo B'chelek, Choshev Hu K'chelek Olam Haba. There's a lot of people that they buy apartments in Eretz Yisrael. I think they're crazy. They buy an apartment, they come here twice a year. The apartment costs them around $2 million. I mean, you know, you could rent out an entire floor in a hotel for that money. But they want their place in Eretz Yisrael. It's something which I never understood, but here we are. It's in Ibn Ezra. It says a person should have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Mi sheyesh ba chelek, chashavu kechelek b'olam haba. So it's a nice thing. If anyone wants to encourage their family to buy a plot in Eretz Yisrael, so there you go. It's a nice thing to have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. We're seeing that Eretz Yisrael is
what? What do you mean? It's like chelek in haba. In what sense?
I'm not sure, but it's definitely a good thing.
Trust Ibn Ezra.
Yeah. Let's go back to the second column, the second paragraph. Kedusha zu shel ha'aretz himishas nesinasa el ha'avos. L'chein nishtoikiku ha'avos likaber b'Eretz Yisrael. This kedusha was already there, even in the times of the avos. That's why the avos all wanted to be buried there. That's why Yaakov told Yosef, "Swear to me that you're going to bury me in Eretz Yisrael." Right? You know about that. Simno yod chatachas yerechi, right? Chesed v'emes al nasik vereini b'mitzrayim. Right? Don't bury me in Mitzrayim. Take me back to Eretz Yisrael. Why did he want to be buried there? It was already kadosh. We spoke last time about there's two kedushas to Eretz Yisrael. There's an inherent kedusha, and there's also a kedusha that was enhanced by the fact that Klal Yisrael lived there. But there's already and by Yitzchak it says gur baretz azoyis l'fish Yitzchak kaisa kedushas oila tamima. Did you know that Yitzchak had kedusha of an oila? That's why he couldn't leave. Why did he have a kedusha of an oila, Yitzchak? From a kedusha Yitzchak. Avram put Yitzchak on the altar. From that moment, he had a kedusha of an oila. For that reason, he could not leave Eretz Yisrael. Gur ba'aretz hazois. If she Yitzchak oila kedushas oila, v'kishem she oila yotzis mechutz l'klaim nefzelas av Yitzchak ima yotzis chutz l'aretz, he would be nefzal. Yaakov also said, "V'shavti b'shalom beis avi v'hayu Hashem li le'elokim." Yaakov said, "Bring me home. I want to go home." All the avos, there was like a passion towards Eretz Yisrael. There was something that they were drawn to Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov, you know, was in Mitzrayim, but he begged that Yosef take me back. If you look at the Lashon language, he says, "V'shavti b'shalom beis avi, bring me home. V'hayu Hashem li le'elokim." What does he mean? V'hayu Hashem li le'elokim. So I want to tell you, there's a fascinating Maimer Chazah. Chazah says, "Kol mi shedar b'chutz la'aretz, anyone lives in chutz la'aretz, kimi she'ein lo yaloika." That is very disappointing. When I lived in chutz la'aretz, and people used to tell me that, it was used to get me angry. "Kol mi shedar l'chutz la'aretz, it's kimi she'ein lo yaloika." He has no God. It's like, so what am I doing all this for? You want to know? Like, what's the?
Why isn't
what?
It? Was like
that what?
You see, they're about me.
Yeah, so that these things are like very, very difficult. But what does it mean? I think the pshat is as follows. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, there's something that happens that doesn't happen in Chutz Laretz. A special type of Hashgacha Pratis. Hashgacha Pratis means it's like a Kodesh Baruch Hu is there with you every single moment. You don't see that in Chutz Laretz. I don't have my own God. God's running the world for sure. But it's not like personal. And that's what it says. Yaakov says, "Shavti b'shalom, basically bring me home. V'hayu Hashem li le'elokim. I want God to be for me a God." Because when I'm back in Eretz Yisrael, I feel that connection. Hashem says, "It's Eretz Asher Eini Hashem Elokecha Ba Meireshis Hashana Arach Rishana." Hashem's eyes are always on Eretz Yisrael. What Hashem's eyes aren't on Chutz Laretz? What does that mean? Hashem's not watching what's going on Chutz Laretz? Of course, that's not true. But it means that we can always see Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael. It's more obvious. Hashem has two different types of behaviors. There's one which is Mashkiach Menachaloinos. The other one is Meitzitz Menacharakim. We say this in Kiddush Levana. Mashkiach lena chalonot means Hashem is watching us from the what's chalonot
windows.
Meitzitz mina charakim. Anyone knows what that means?
Peeking
from the charakim are the cracks. Hashem is either watching through the windows or peeking through the cracks. What's the difference between watching through the windows and peeking through the cracks? Well, if I'm looking through the window at someone, I see him and he sees me. But if I'm peeking at someone through a crack, can you see me?
Yep.
Come on. My kids think that you can't. You see me? I can see you. You can't see me, right? Especially, I mean, if there's a real like crack over here, right? You got it. So Hashem has two different ways of dealing with it. He's always watching us, but sometimes he sees us and we see him. sometimes he's peeking through the cracks, we can't see him. In Eretz Yisrael, it's Mashkiach Menachaloinois. In Eretz Yisrael, Hashem sees us, we see him, and you feel like Hashem, I've got it. Chutzlar, it's Hashem's there, but I don't feel it, I don't see it.
Why doesn't everyone live here?
Why doesn't everyone live here? They should. Everyone should live here. Everyone should definitely live here. Another question, whether sometimes people are stuck. They have situations which they don't allow them to live in. For example, my parents, when they were very young, before I was even born, my father, who was at the time teaching mathematics, he's a mathematics professor, and he wanted to live in Israel. So he came to Israel and he had a meeting with the university here, Bar Ilan University, Hebrew University, whatever it was. And he said, I'd like to move my family here. And they said, we'll offer you a position. We'll pay you $3 a year. He's like, can't live on that. Whatever they were offering him, it was like, no go. But he very much wanted to come here. Like, to the point where he literally came here on a pilot trip, with either with my mother or without, I don't know. Had a meeting with them. They said, this is how much we could pay you. He said, I can't live off that. So he didn't come. Right, a lot of people, you know, they don't do the trip, but it's not feasible for them to come for various different reasons. But technically, everyone should come. The Chafetz Chaim said, go. The Vilna Gaon said, go. Well, the Gedolim said, go. Everyone should go to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, different people have different situations. They can't go. Right? There's a Rav that I'm very close with, Rabbi Moshe Weinberger. I don't know if any of you know who that is. It's a big Rav in America. So he's talking about moving to Eretz Yisrael. I said, I'll have older parents that are there. They need me. I can't leave. My parents need me. I have to be there. So his heart is here. His mind is here. But Lamaisi, you can't always get here. But everyone really should be here. Without an excuse, we should all be here. Right? Because this is the place to be. The others were all desperate to get here. Chafetz Chaim tried getting here. Does he know the picture the Chafetz Chaim comes from? Because Chafetz Chaim wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael, but he needed a passport. He didn't let pictures of him. It's like ironic. The one person who's probably the most famous picture in all of Judaism is probably the Chafetz Chaim. Think of anyone else that's more famous? Their picture? He's the most famous picture. What? They'll try what? So, I think it's going to work, huh? Chafetz Chaim did not allow pictures of himself. When the Chafetz Chaim's great-grandson came here to speak, because we finished the Sefer, so, you know, Mr. Newsletter got up there. He's like, no! It was like, okay, sorry. So the Chafetz Chaim didn't allow pictures. So where'd the picture come from? There's two pictures of the Chafetz Chaim. Now we've got a video. That's a new thing. But there are two pictures of the Chafetz Chaim that exist. One is of him sitting sideways by his house and this. And there's a front picture, like the one that we have. That is from a passport. He had a passport, and he made the guy who took the picture promise that he's going to rip up the picture. He didn't. And the picture got out. But Chafetz Chaim didn't allow any pictures of himself. What?
Was it a picture or a drawing?
I actually think it was. I don't know. I'm not sure. It might have been a drawing. I heard this from Chafetz Chaim's grandson, one of his exes. What?
What's the reason?
Why didn't he allow it? So he felt that it was infringing on. There's a loisas elachah pesel called tmunas koil. Tmuna. What is it called when you take a picture? In Hebrew, it's called a tmuna. So the pasuk says loisas pesel tmunas koil. Can make tmunas. So he felt that that's included in tmuna. We don't make what are they called?
Sculptures.
Whatever. Anyway, but what the Gedolim are into going to Eretz Yisrael?
How come there's people that say not to come to Moshiach?
I don't think anyone holds you not allowed to come here.
That's not Eretz Yisrael yet.
Satmar does not hold you not allowed to come here. Satmar, the Satmar Rav, was here in Eretz, lived in here in Eretz Yisrael. There's a big Satmar Hasidus here in Eretz Yisrael. They feel you cannot take control of the government in Eretz Yisrael. It's a whole different thing. It's a whole different thing.
Why do they hold you can't take control?
So there's Gemaras that says you. I think everyone really holds you, almost everyone. You're not really supposed to do it, but once they did it, not everyone, but all of the yeshiva world. They weren't supposed to do it because there's a klala, a shavua that we're not going to take back Eretz Yisrael, but to live here for sure. The Ramban lived here. The Ramban came here. The Satmar Rav doesn't argue on the Ramban, right? The Satmar Rav himself lived here, but when he lived here, he refused. Didn't take any buses. Didn't use electricity. He wouldn't take anything from the government because he felt the government was the problem. And it's a secular government. It is a secular government, right? That's the problem. No one feels you should not live here. Now, practically, for some people, it's not practical to live here. I would also tell people, let's say the people are going to move here and they've got teenage kids and they got whatever. I'm like, you might just mess your kids up big time by coming here. It's not so simple. You know, what?
With what?
With the culture. You know, you move here and they just, they have no friends, they don't speak the language and the whole thing, and they're not used to this whole, they come in here and it could be very, very confusing for a lot of people. There are definitely people, there's a whole at-risk situation in Eretz Yisrael for American Israelis. It exists. Because then, you know, if you bring your kids here at a certain age, maybe not wise to come. That could be another reason why not to come. But in theory, everyone should come. In theory.
You retire.
When you retire is a good time to move here. Then sometimes people have kids or whatever it is. Yeah, in theory. Again, all these things are in theory. Okay. It's an unbelievable thing it says over here. He brings from the Gemara. The Gemara says, listen to this. You know that Sarah Imenu was an Akara? Why was she an Akara? Well, it was kind of all of them. But says the Gemara, you know, maybe part of the reason was because she was in Chutz Laretz. The Gemara. Gemara in Yevamah Samach Dal and Amaral. Maybe part of the reason was because she was in Chutz Laretz. So therefore, you have to be an Eretz Yisrael. Everything changes when you get to Eretz Yisrael. Your mazel changes, your mindset changes, what you're capable of changes. Everything changes to get to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Avraham Avinu came to Eretz Yisrael, and she had a baby when they were in Eretz Yisrael. And that's one of the things that, you know, Eretz Yisrael is so special for us. The pasuk says it's a Vilna Goyin. The Vilna Goyin says the following thing. It says in the pasuk, Vayovoy Yaakov Shalem Ir Shem. Vayovoy Yaakov Shalem. What does it mean? Yovoy Yaakov Shalem. Yaakov came
full, complete.
Complete. Ir Shem, says the Vilna Gaon. When Yaakov came into Eretz Yisrael, he became complete. In Chutz Laretz, he couldn't do it. Something happened when he came to Eretz Yisrael that he was able to complete. Eretz Yisrael is a very, it's a big boost now, Baruch Hashem. There's amazing people in Chutz Laretz, Moshe Feinstein. I mean, he's unbelievable, right? And so many people in Europe that were unbelievable, many of them. But there's an added bonus that you get, like by being in Eretz Yisrael, that boosts you up and what you can accomplish in Chutz Laretz.
How come everybody in above, with all Talmud Rav, why didn't they all come to Eretz Yisrael?
They couldn't. It was very difficult times over there. They were in exile. They couldn't come. And when they had difficult questions, you know what they did? They sent their difficult questions to Eretz Yisrael. Sholchu Masam, the Gemara would say. They sent to Eretz Yisrael the question. Eretz Yisrael was like, the Gemara says that one Talmid Chacham in Chutz Laretz, two Talmid Chacham in Chutz Laretz, are worth the same amount as one Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael is double the value. And then the Gemara says, and a Talmid Chacham that goes from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, it's worth two Talmidei Chachamim that lived always in Eretz Yisrael. Because you boys that are like making that move, that's like unbelievable. To make the move from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, that's the highest, the Gemara says. The highest to get. Because you're pulling yourself out of all of this, you know, the stuff that you were in. So if someone that was born here, so... You know, in a certain way, he appreciates it only so much. Those of us that are like getting out of the culture and we embrace what we have in here in Eretz Yisrael, that's the highest level. We will continue, Beis Hashem, hopefully, next time, which is when?
Thursday.
Thursday, I'm looking forward.